So super exciting. I'm really glad you guys could be sharing with us. You guys have just come back from actually, when did you guys get back from Nepal?
Various times.
Oh, various yeah. times. Okay, right. That's how it goes in the industry. Do you guys actually want to just open up and share a little bit about where you guys went and what you guys did there? Wait, actually, before that happens, why don't you guys introduce yourselves, just in case people don't know you. Yeah.
I'm Isabella. I'm Brenda.
I'm Edwina.
I'm York, and I'm living in Nottingham.
And I'm Young from Birmingham.
Wait, quite a few of them are from not Birmingham as well. So actually, this team, they're part of, they joined with Bread and Life International, and it was a team of 35 people from all different parts of the world, gone to Nepal. And it was really exciting. I think we have been getting more involved with BLI for the past couple years. And it's been really encouraging. And so they went off to Nepal. There's a picture of them kind of out there. And they were from the 1st to the 10th of November. Edwina, do you want to share a little bit about kind of what you guys did out there and the yeah. kind of schedule?
Yeah. So it, like I said, it was a 10-day trip. And we went sort of saying that it was a medical mission trip. But I think it was more than that as well. So the first few days, so you can see that we went to sort of places like Banepa, Chitwan, and Panchkal. So Banepa and Chitwan was where sort of we did do medical clinics. But aside from that, I think, which I think later people will share as well, was also times where I think we ourselves also got ministered to. Also, I think, like you say, so it was a joint between BLI and also Australian team, OMMA. So from that group, they had sort of dentals, optometrists, nurses, and also midwives as well. And then from our team, we also had sort of people from Malaysia, from US, from Hong Kong. You know, it was really a really international group. And it was just surprising how I think personally, I probably felt like I wasn't sure how I was going to bond with everyone. But then, you know, how just God just allowed us to bond together. And then after the medical mission trip, we then sort of went off to different youth camps as well. So the last 3 days, we all separated into youth camps throughout the whole of Kathmandu as well. I think, number one, I think we were told that we were there to encourage, you know, the youth there, the youth leaders there. But I think aside from that, just hearing the stories of, you know, the leaders themselves, you know, like Nepal is really being persecuted. Christians, they are really being persecuted at present. And, you know, just hearing people who sort of, you know, where, you know, their parents would actually disown them. And then how they still stood strong, and then, you know, even bringing their parents to Christ, you know, and how they are where they are. Those was really sort of, I think we were encouraged more by them, more than we encouraging them as well.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I mean, that's really encouraging, because I remember before you guys went out, we were just talking about Nepal, and recently there's been more persecution occurring because Christians no longer really allowed to evangelize out in public. But still having the chance to be able to go out there, it's really encouraging to hear the stories. There's a couple of pictures that'll show, and I guess this is the team from the UK, part of the team from the UK, and that's when you guys first headed out there. And it's pretty nice, although ethnically you look all kind of similar, and to an untrained eye you look all the same age as Chinese people, healthy genetics. But of course, some of you guys might recognize Brenda up in the top. She was with our church back before she went back to Malaysia. So it'd be great to hear a little bit about it. I guess the first place Isabel is making a heart, or else she's trying to look like the mountain, one or the two. And this is the full team. Just very briefly, where is this?
So this was on the way to on the way from Chitwan to Kathmandu. So it's on the way. So this was the only time I saw the Himalayas, so I got very excited, actually.
So you're like, quickly, let's take a picture of the Himalayas, because that, we're not gonna see them. And then this is, I guess, this is the first kind of place you guys went. This is the orphanage, is that right?
Yeah.
Do you guys want to tell us a little bit about the orphanage and kind of what happened?
So this orphanage is founded by a Korean couple, and they have been serving in Nepal for 20 years, more than 20 years. And now because the orphanage is getting stronger and stronger, there was like 500 kids in the orphanage. but the government just felt they were threatened, and they just kind of like forced those kids to go back home. And now there are like 150 kids now left in the orphanage. And then, so that means calculation. That means more than 200 kids were sent back to their home. But the thing is, because their parents couldn't really support the kids, so they had to send them to the orphanage. But now they were just sent back to home. So it's just kind of like, yeah, feeling very burdened. And then, and when we met the couple, the Korean couple, and the first day when we arrived to Chinwan, this orphanage, and then the face were very kind of like depressed. And then we didn't know what happened at that moment. But after that, Isabella, me, Brenda Chin, and also Suk Lin, they were there from Malaysia, and we kind of like had discussion with the Australian team. And then they kind of like explained the situation to us. And we were just like, oh my gosh, you're so terrible. And but that night, we were having the welcoming party, which was like the kids were performing on the stage, and they were dancing, singing, and just performing all sorts of stuff to us to welcome us. And then we were just like a bit overwhelmed, not just because of their passion and their love, but also we can really feel the burden from the couple. And also we kind of like, yeah, just had a mixed feeling. And then, yeah, but the pastor, who is called Pastor Lee, he is trying so hard to protect the kids, just like his own daughters and sons. So I still remember when we saying goodbye to them after the welcoming party, and Pastor Lee just said to me, oh, please give them a big hug, because they need that. They need the love, because it's the way that we show the love to them. And at that moment, I was so ashamed, because I just said goodbye to them, but without any big hugs. So after that, I just, and then just, yeah, give them so big, big hug. And yeah, I think, do you guys want maybe something to add on?
Yeah, I think it's just at the end of the meeting, you see all the guests just line up at the exit. So it's about over 300 kids. I think it's the first time just hugging everyone. If you think of hugging 300, more than 300 people at one time, it's really touching. See, they're so happy. The joy, the peace, it just really warm my heart. And I'm not there just to give anything blessing to them. It's just their joy and the peace, and just warm my heart.
Yeah, I mean, it's really encouraging. Obviously, with orphanages, it's always very difficult, especially across the world, and also trying to know how they're being operated. At the same time, we know that Nepal is trying to shut down, especially more Christian activities and places. And so one of the reasons the kids are being sent back home was because it's a Christian orphanage. And it makes it very challenging, because when we look at more poverty-stricken kind of places where the kids actually going back home puts them at a higher risk for illness or care, it becomes kind of a difficult thing. I got this video from, they have a bunch of their journals, they did the video journals. Here's a short clip of this, Brenda.
We're cutting out all these for the children to make a very nice hat here, as you can see. And you can open it like that.
So this is some crafts that they were going to do with the kids, I assume. And this is the orphanage, yeah. And so there's a picture of the kids just really... What was happening here? Is this the...
This is their normal worship.
worship.
Like, yeah. It's so crazy. They actually sing this. I think they sang it for us because it's in English. But when they sang it in Nepali, they even sang some Korean songs. They were so high. It's like,
K-pop
wow,
is everywhere.
So high. And then I just feel like they're constantly in a youth camp, because then they go home and sleep. And the next thing, they come back and worship. And like, oh, So cool.
So I guess it's something that they really gives them a lot of life and energy to just be there together. It is very tough for kids in an orphanage. Part of it is, and I think with the pastor saying, there is not that warmth. Although on one hand, says, oh, they must have so much fun, the kids being together all the time. There's something very absent about not being able to be with your family or being someone there to be the care for you. And that's why these orphanages sometimes, I mean, the pastor there is really correct. You know, they still need that sense of real paternal care and paternal love for that. Here's another picture of them doing Tai Chi, morning exercises.
I think this is their praying.
This is how they pray.
This is how they pray.
And this is, again, this is in the orphanage. How old were the kids ranged between? I mean, do they come as really young kids?
Yeah, some were adopted when they were just like this small. So the pastor was sharing a testimony and like.
You have no kids of your own.
No, seriously. It was like a baby like that was just born. Just born like this.
Okay.
Actually, yeah. And then
1.4 kilograms. Yeah. This is a measure of distance, by the way.
No, just
weight. Not weight. Just saying. Okay, go on. Yeah, so they come when they're very small.
So some of them came like really small. One of them that the pastor shared. It's a miracle even in a medical,
right.
A Western medical situation because it grew from this too. And then when he ended the whole story of how the pastor raised her, and then she's just like, oh, so this is her. And she's just sweeping the floor over there. So like, oh, it was so surreal.
14 years old. So in other words, they might come as babies. Is that correct then?
So I think just like that girl that they talked about, she basically was delivered less than 28 weeks. So I think most people, and she was literally less than 1 kilo. And to me, I was just like, how in the world did she survive 14 years ago? But yeah, I think it was like the pastor shared was, you know, he then used his, when this girl was just left on the road by the parents.
Right.
And then when they got to know that the missionary was just living near there, they brought her there. And then he managed to just use his motorbike and brought her to the nearest hospital, and that was the last cot available. If he was 5 minutes late, she probably would have died. And 14 years ago, and there, like Young said, you know, he was just like, this is her. And then I think the thing which I think touched me really as well was the next day we were told, you know, go and see how they do their morning devotion. And these kids wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning to do morning devotion. We were like, are you serious? You want us to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to go and join them? Yeah. And this girl was there leading worship.
Wow.
I literally was just like, you know, what have we been doing? You know, trying to wake up at 6 o'clock, we're already struggling. What more this girl who's up at 5 o'clock leading worship?
I mean, it's really amazing because you see God's care and love. And sometimes the world seems so big and it's so difficult to understand so many things. And so many things for us feel out of control. And sometimes realizing actually our God is sovereign and that there is his sovereignty and his grace and his goodness in places that we don't even know exist. We're going to look through, just finish up a couple of things. I guess this is the hug line. This is the hug line. So it's really cute. Johnny looks happy. And there's Isabella. Oh, look at, this is such a cute picture of you guys. But the other thing you guys kind of did out there were, played football, right, clearly.
We lost only 2-1, so we were proud.
You lost only 2-1. Clearly a high-scoring match. This is your use of modern technology to create lamps. When the power went out, right, you guys just have to use your mobile phones, and then... No. What's happening
there?
The
first night it happened that way, and then we thought we liked it. So we just kept doing that.
Oh, right. Okay. Being novelty.
Because they have guards there to survey, keep surveilling over the whole camp.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to alert them that we are there praying. That's why we switched off the lights.
Okay. Metal Gear Solid type of thing. reference for about... five people. Okay, because the guards, just to clarify, the guards that were there were not,
from
they're
the
not,
government.
They're from the government. Yeah, yeah. So the government actually sent security there to keep an eye over this camp. And so that gives you a picture of what it was like for the situation in Nepal.
What happened is the pastor couple, they were living at the campus previously. But since the government have this new rule, so they're not allowed to stay in the campus. So they lived about 15-20 minutes ride away. And so that's their excuse, that there has to be somebody to look after the kids. So they have 24/7 a guard. Well, they said these are a guard to look after the kids, but actually they are sort of reporting to the government whatever happened in the camp, in the orphanage.
Okay. So a mixture of guarding and spying.
This picture reminds me, is it the first time when we heard the sad story of the orphanage? So our team said, okay, we're going to play. And then we just circle around and just lay on the floor, thinking that is not carpet, it's hard concrete. Yeah. So we've been living for over an hour. Just I feel really just inspired by our team. We got just playing together for this opening.
Yeah, I think sometimes when one of the hard things with us being in this country is that sometimes the comfort means that there's no urgency. There's no sometimes desperation in our prayer. We all know what it's like to pray desperately, especially when things are going bad for us and we desperately want something. We know what that's like. But when we're in a situation where we're seeing a people that we just met or care about and see the situation there, you can understand what it means to really have this desperation cry out to God in that kind of way. And so on one hand, it's a challenge for us to say sometimes the comforts make our lives too easy, but at the same time say, well, God, can our hearts and eyes just always be open to the urgency out there as well? Looking ahead, this is getting to the clinics now. Is this what's happening here? And this is a queue for people waiting to register for the clinic. So you guys also offered some light dental and medical clinic and care. Do you guys want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, so like I said, so the dental team was mainly led by Pastor John, who's from the Australian team as well. So he had like dental nurses, and also he had another dentist who came all the way from Thailand just to join the trip. She's the girl behind there. So yeah, they were sort of basically they were just sort of, I think dental care in Nepal, you know, like you say, everything they have to do is all pretty much they have to pay for it. So I think, you know, even to go for like a medical clinic, it's like, you know, to go and see a doctor, they have to sort of fork out their own money for it. What more like, you know, dental where it probably wouldn't be on their priority. So they did a lot of sort of like dental extraction. And I think for the kids as well, you know, just applying fluoride treatment for them. Yeah, and then I think from my side, so I was really lucky to have two nurses with me, and because I was the only doctor, I had them sort of upgraded to doctors as well. So we were seeing quite a fair few loads of patients as well. Yeah, but I think the one thing which to me, I think, you know, like when we hear of like the Philippine trips, or, you know, like, you know, they have sort of prayers of, you know, miracle and healing. We knew in that situation, I went there hoping that sort of we could do that. But then, you know, because of the persecution that they were facing, it was sort of, it wasn't as straightforward as us, you know, saying to them, do you want prayer? Especially how you say, you know, how you recognize Hindus are those who have got a red dot or, you know, something just on their forehead. But I think the one thing sort of when I was sharing with the team, like, you know, how difficult it was and feeling just quite restrained with what you can do medically for them, because, you know, we didn't go there with sort of all sorts of equipments, was then, you know, they were sharing, you know, just do like a ninja prayer for them, you know, whoever you see, whoever you touch, just pray. And I think there is one at the back as well of physio. Yeah, so this was Sharon, who's a physio. So we did like a physio clinic, and you can see she and Young are both obviously supposedly doing physio treatment, but praying for them as well.
Young, I don't want you to be my physiotherapist, but you can pray for me anytime you want.
Yeah, so coming from the Philippine trips where I just pray for every single person, I felt like, oh, I can't. Like, there's so many obvious things, like, you got back pain, seriously? I'm like, I really want to pray with you now, but I can't do that. So I'm like, okay, let's set up a physio session, and I'll be the fake physio. So we're just, like, having opportunities to just pray. And then there was a guy where we weren't sure whether they're Hindu or not, so we just do our physio and pray. And after that, we asked. And physio, Sharon's coming this evening. She knows that certain things, there's nothing you can do in physio. It's just like, you just need a miracle or you just need an operation. But we pray for some guy. And then there's this one guy that we're like, oh, yeah, pain's gone now. And then I'm like, okay, let's just risk it. We pray for you just now in Jesus' name, you know? And then he started opening up and say, oh, actually, all my family are Christian except me. So actually, with the persecution, it's only if people complain to the government. So I think if we do it out of love, And if you really care for the person, they are okay to open up to the gospel. Really.
I'm a nurse, so I just at Wiener Center, so I'm upgrade. So I've got my clinic. And I saw one of the girl, she just came for, okay, some skin problem. So I just saw that she got cut mark on her arm, so I noticed that she's got cell harm. But she didn't say anything about it. She didn't come for this thing. So in my mind, I said that, what? Nothing I can do, okay. In here, you can refer her to, there's mental health or any somewhere. But over there, I know that it's just nothing that I can do and she can do. So I just asked her whether I can pray for you. I see over there, it's just not what we can do, okay. As a medical people, okay, we can give them medication, we can give them this and that. But after we go, I said that there's no follow-up, no referral, no resources. But I just said it's just God just can do the work. And just God heal her heart. Because you know that this is a long-term, not just one-off problem, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the difficulties when we're on short-term trips. You can sometimes see some of the long-term issues, and the contribution that you can make is actually very small. And that's one of the challenges with any missions organization trying to figure out what they do with short-term teams, especially when you talk about medical or dental even. All they can provide temporary relief. But part of this is also opening people's eyes to seeing, you know, God, actually, do you want me to be involved longer term in these places? God, what can you do? Young, I really like what you did in the praying for someone. A lot of times there's a focus on the miracle, but afterwards it's a declaration of Jesus and saying, you know, it's Jesus that healed you. And it's in that declaration of faith the person says, well, I'm the only one not in my family not Christian. And it's one of those things where you suddenly realize, oh God, you are sovereign and the way that you're working is, I'm blessed I can be a part of this story in this person's life. And take away some blessings that I don't really deserve to be involved in that. It's just fun time, yeah. Just checking, because Zaza's in the deaf school, and this is a friend of yours?
this is the first medical clinic we did. So when we knew the first medical clinic that we were going to was a deaf school, I'm like, yes, we're going to a deaf school. The last mission trip I went to, I prayed for three deaf person, they're here. And like, yes, I'm going to go. And then I talked to the pastor, and they're like, oh, you probably shouldn't do that. So this was the first medical clinic that we went to that we told we should be careful, exercise wisdom. But this one, I think Edwina, because Edwina's a doctor and we're like a good team, so Edwina's like, oh, you're a Christian? You can't see? Okay, then she just dragged her straight to the prayer station or the pharmacy. And we just prayed for her, and because she's Christian, so we can just do whatever. So I was just like, okay, you're blind, you can't see. Okay, let me double check first. Like, can you see? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? Cannot. So we prayed, and then she starts seeing, and then I'm like, let's just check. Let's bring you to the sun because we're in a dark room, and she could see after that. And then we were, the whole family like, oh, I want prayer too. I want prayer too. And then I'm like, oh, cool.
I mean, that's really true. I mean, even in this country, there's a sense that sometimes we don't know when we should be able to pray for someone or even approach the subject about Christ. And in this case where you know you're not allowed to, it's a little bit different than here where you just feel like it's impolite to. There's this need to exercise wisdom and really seeking God in that. But I love the fact that you say, well, as soon as you realize this person is a Christian, you know, Jesus, then your name can be glorified. Because although you have a limited time there, when Christ works powerfully in another believer's life there, the access they have to the people there, local, is longstanding. And it's really encouraging because miracles in any context make people say, actually, the God that you believe in is greater than the ones that I know. And it's really amazing because even in the small opportunity to exercise faith, you can see that God can do greater things in the long run. That's really powerful. And just hearing that God let her see. Again, that's amazing.
Well, I thank you for, I need to thank Edwina for her being a supernatural doctor, because if she didn't talk to her, we wouldn't know that we could pray or not pray.
Right.
We were just like dishing out drugs and not doing anything.
But it's really that team, God using the team to work together.
So I'm constantly thinking, wow, the doctor that can pray supernaturally and heal naturally, amazing.
Double blessing.
Double, yeah.
We're coming towards the last part of this, is the youth camp. I put this clip up. I don't know if this is interesting. This is
I'm Pastor N.P. Pradhan. This is Pastor Kesab Rana and his wife, Rupa Rana. And the Pastor Kesab is pastoring this church since 15 years. So he has a very strong testimony in this community. Actually, he himself was a demon possessed for nearly 28 years. So after when he came to the Lord and he was really healed by the Jesus now, since 15 years he's serving this church, and they have started like a three another branch churches also. So we'd like to thank you, this team from UK and our sister and brothers. They shared a very powerful testimony. We are really blessed. Please pray for us. Thank you.
Yeah, that's the pastor, and just hearing his story that he was demon possessed for 28 years, and then he was set free, and it's great. He has a powerful testimony within that community. It's like in the Bible when you hear about the demon possessed man, suddenly he's healed, and everyone's like, I know that guy. He's the crazy guy, and then he's not crazy anymore. And then pastoring in out there for 15 years, and you guys had a chance to be on Medium, and you guys all had chances to share testimonies and to practice preaching to the youth. There's Brenda rocking her scarf.
Yeah, this is my first sermon.
And this is your first sermon. And this is this still the youth camp, is it? No.
This is one of the churches.
This is one of the churches.
Yeah.
Is it? And this is the youth camp. Do you guys want to share any stories about
That picture, that video about the pastor.
Yeah.
I was really inspired by his vision. And he shared his story that he wanted to plant 200 churches over 20 years. But we went there, he said that it's just not gone to 20 years, but over 200 churches have been planned. I mean, just really inspired for a country that is not welcome for Christianity. And he just got the, he said that some, you see, one of, we've been to some local churches, and they said the people, they are quite poor, they can't support the pastor, and the pastor have to attend. Like, and they are, but the hunger for God really inspired me, and said, in here, we're just so comfortable. But that that pastor has also got this vision. And he's just been planning the church and supporting the church. And it's also his plan, his work also inspired me. He said, okay, it's just looking after the first generation. He said, okay, we will look after, we will educate, build up the next generation. I think it just really inspired me for a country that is persecuted a lot. Yeah.
I think like the local churches as well that, you know, we went to and share as well, literally some of them would be half the size of this, and it's sort of, you know, some of them have just got like corrugated irons as the walls or even plastic just covering it. And, you know, like after that, they invite us for like a lunch over, and the rooms that they stay in would probably just be the corner by the piano there, and that is their one room where they live in, a whole family live in, and they still open it up to us as well. And then you hear of people who walk an hour and a half to church, and yet they can still be punctual. And then after that, you know, walking an hour and a half back as well. You know, it was just really amazing, you know, just seeing how committed and how dedicated these people are for God.
Talking about walking, the youth camp that I went to was told by the pastor that some of the people that attended the youth camp, they came from the mountain, and they walked 2 days and then took a bus for 2 days. And after they got off the bus, they have to walk another 20 minutes to get to the church for the youth camp.
My legs are tired just hearing about that. You know, so what strikes me about that is we talk about their dedication or their commitment to it. But you know what it is? It's that Jesus is so real and Jesus is so good. Coming to church is not... No one's that committed to come and hear a preacher speak, unless it's like, actually, our Jesus is so good. Being together with other Christians is so treasured. that I would be willing to walk that much distance to try to be there with them. And I think that's that. Sometimes because we have so many things provided for us here, we lose sight of that. It becomes a convenience, or becomes an entitlement, or becomes just comfortable. And then when we realize actually the God that we have, he is far greater and far more wonderful than we are even trying to taste or experience, and passing that off. Which is why a lot of times for the missions teams, when you guys go out, it's what you receive, because you suddenly realize, oh, actually our God is much, much, much bigger than we think, and our faith in him can be much, much greater than we anticipated. I think there's just one more picture, this is the last one. Is there any final thing you guys want to share? Or
in this trip, one thing I is that, okay, before people join mission trip, most people say, okay, I'm really happy that you go out and just spread the good news and just share with the people. But in this trip, I find that we are not there to serve, but we are encouraged by, we are not only to serve, but we are encouraged by them. It's like we are just a two-way. They encourage us, and we encourage them. I think this is what brother and sister should be doing. I mean, a lot of the fun, sometimes I think that, okay, missionary, okay, go out, we're doing a great job, and just going to do something for the local people, for those people there. But I'm just really encouraged, inspired for those people there. And they encourage my life, encourage my faith. This is what I learned from the trip, yeah.
Echoing what Brenda said, for me, I feel that the whole trip I have received so much, not just the local people. They really honor us in so many ways. And one thing is that they, the host family we stayed in, whenever we have dinner, they wouldn't sit with us for dinner. And we keep asking them to sit with us with dinner, you know, eat together. They said the custom is for the guests to eat first. And what I thought is they make sure that we had our fill first before they eat. And so many times, I don't think they have meat very often. But every time we have dinner, we have meat. And so it's such an honor. It's a simple thing. And so I'm so blessed by them. But also, I'm so blessed by my team, especially these few here. They really looked after us so well. And I'm so blessed for the love I feel from them. And so I want to say to everybody, young people, if you have a gap year, the orphanage is always open for teachers, for English teacher, art teacher, music teacher, or even if you just have a short holiday time, take a mission trip. So you have learned, you can learn so much that you can't receive in our own country. And another thing that I learned, I hope Brenda forgive me saying that. I know that she looked up to me a lot of time in a lot of way. But through this trip, I can see, because I know her well, so I know all her shortcomings as well. But the thing is, God doesn't use perfect people. God uses people who are imperfect. As long as they open their heart to God, God will use them. And that's what I see in Brenda, because she opened her heart to God. So God really used her mightily in so many ways, and in her prayer, in her support, in just her smile that, you know, that encouraged people. So I would say to all of you, take a week or two out and have a mission trip.
I'll just wrap it up. But I think one thing that I would like to that I brought back was that obviously they're very humble. Our team is very humble to say we learn a lot, but at the same time, I really want to commend them, because I think they've been a big blessing to the committee as well. Like this photo, this young lady was demon-possessed, and Brenda Chin was the one that was praying and casting out demons. So this is one thing, and then so the whole team was a blessing to them as well. So what I got back was that every little thing that we learn here, even in the UK, whatever you're serving in, like if you're doing worship team, if you're doing life group, if you're just leading a Bible study, God can use that. Just be faithful with that, because out there, they're so desperate for more training, so desperate for teachers to teach the word. So it just humbled me to know that, sometimes we think we're too small, but that can be false humility as well, because true humility is knowing that God can use you and you'll be willing to be used. So I think it really encouraged me to come back here, still be faithful with serving people, serving God with the little things, because God can use that for really, really great impact, whether it's overseas, whether it's in the UK. So yeah, that's to encourage.
On that note, the next trip out to the Philippines is in June.
Yes, so this is the first official announcement. We're going to go to Philippines again next June, second week of June, 7 to 18. And yours truly will be leading it. So if you want to spend time in Philippines ministering to the people, please let me know after this. Applications are open already. Yeah.
So I think if you'll join me, I'd love to just pray for the team and also the people in Nepal and just really lift this up. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much because you are the God of this world. You're the God of this universe, Lord. You are incomparable. And you welcome us to be part of your story. You show us what it means to be a family across cultures, across cities, across countries. And we thank you, Lord, that the things that you are teaching us and training us here can be a blessing to the people there. At the same time, the experiences that they're going through is also a blessing to us, Lord. And throughout all of this, Lord, your name is just glorified and magnified and exalted more and more. And we are humbled more and more because we see, man, God, you are something else. You are amazing. Lord, let that spur us onward to know you more, to love you more, to desire more of you. May it increase our faith, Lord. May your spirit continue its work across Nepal, Lord. May you continue to encourage the pastors there. Lord, I know sometimes it can be very lonely out in the field, that they're when it seems like the government or the world is against them, Lord. May you remind them, Lord, that you have overcome this world. And this world, you will have trouble, Lord. But you are greater than all of those things. We pray that the team, as they've gone back to their parts of the world, wherever they are, Lord, we thank you that you are really just been able to bring them together and to be united during their time together. And we give you just so much glory and praise for that, Lord. We thank you for the family that we can share together. We thank you for this team. We pray that you continue to protect them and continue to let them process what they learned and that your name continues to be exalted through them. And the testimony that we hear today, Lord, may it also inspire us to be your active children wherever we are. So we thank you for all this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.